Well, we are back. So last night was just I'd like getting on a bike again. I don't think I fell too many times, but we're glad to be back. We appreciate everybody. We thank God for you, what he's doing in your life. We are thankful for the Lord and his goodness and what he's doing. We in this series, understanding the words of Yeshua. Understanding his words, what Jesus has described in Scripture, and being able to comprehend them. It's amazing to me how many people don't even know what he said. And how can you be successful in life if you don't know what he said? It's important what he said. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Very important. We have to grab hold to that principle. His words are valuable to our individual lives. And he wrote them to individuals. Remember that. His words are written to you as an individual. So today I want you to think about that. Not as a group, but as an individual person. The words that I'm going to read to you today, I want you to grab hold to that. They're written to you. And you got to hear the words. Can you imagine? We're hearing his words. The words of Jesus. What he spoke is written to you. Now, there are going to be some things that we talk about today that are going to be life-changing if you want to. You don't have to change, but if you want to, they'll be life-changing to you. All you got to do is listen careful and do what's being said. The Bible is clear when it says, James puts it this way, be not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. Remember that. A doer of the word. That's key. I can tell you stuff all day long, every day. But unless you do those things, they don't benefit you at all. You know it, you have a knowledge of it, but you have no benefit from it. It doesn't help you whatsoever. He said, if you're a hearer only and not a doer of the word, you're like a person who sees yourself. You see your reflection. You know the condition you're in. You know why you're having troubles and struggles and having anxiety and all these things. You know that. You know why you're not feeling healthy. You know why you can't operate in forgiveness. You know why you can't do certain things that the scripture says we should be doing. So what happens? You see it and you know it, but you forget when you go down the road that you're in that condition. So you keep living that way every day. Professing to be Christian, but don't have the marks of a Christian. Remember that. You can profess to be Christian, but do you have the mark of a Christian? This is what this section of scripture is going to teach us. Today we're going to just deal with the first part. This Sermon on the Mountain covers the Beatitudes, admonitions, and precepts, but we're just going to cover the Beatitudes. We won't cover them all. We might not even get to the first one, but we'll hint around it for a little bit because this is how serious this matter is. And so I want to read to you just that first section, and then we're going to go down further a little bit so you'll see it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, and seeing the multitude, he went into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, now this is Jesus teaching the multitude and his disciples. And he tells them something very important. We're going to just cover just the beginning part of this. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim, see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. And then it goes on and talks about blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And so I'm not going to get to these last verses I read, but I'm going to look at least 1 through 9 somewhat today. And then we'll break it down in later days and look at one at a time. So I wanted you just to see that. Now I'm going to skip on down to the this section right here. I covered this last night, but I'm going to go ahead and cover it again just so you can catch up to where we talked about last night. The Beatitudes tells us who is blessed by Yahweh, the Father. Think about that. It tells us this. So we're going to just deal with this particular subject today. Number two, it helps us understand what it means to be blessed. What it means to be blessed. And number three, it leads us into worship. It leads us into worship. Outside of fully comprehending the Beatitudes, you have not worshiped as yet. Remember that. You can't go into worship alone. You have to be led into worship through the correct posture. And how do you know what posture or the marking you need if you don't understand the Beatitude? You have no idea. And so this is important, very important for us today. And so we're going to cover these things. One of the things I said last night was you got to be careful when you study this that you're not studying it with a Western book that you define words. When it's talking about being blessed, it's not the same as if you're a blessing to somebody. If I was, if the Lord put it on my heart to give you some money, okay, and I gave you that money, then I, in a sense, became a blessing to you. That's not the same blessed here that we're talking about. The word blessed literally means happy. Again, let's take that word. If it means happy, what is that word? I gave you an example last night. If a family member has lost someone, they lost a loved one, and there's a family gathering, everybody's gathered together, and they're experiencing deep mourning from that loss. But in the conversating and everybody staying together, one may bring up a remembrance of that person and there's laughter in the room. It means that everybody was happy because somebody gave a remembrance of something. But that happiness is only momentary. What is the root of their feeling? Mourning. They're still in mourning, yet they was able to express a happiness. That's not this happy. It's not momentary. It's the only thing you know. So in the morning, there's happy. In the worst day of your life, there's happy. How many understand that? It's a difference. And it only can be given from Yahweh. Can't be given by anybody. You can't have somebody make this emotion start to happen in your life. It's a known thing by the individual who recognized himself in their need for God, and they were overwhelmed emotionally of how incredible he is. It don't go away. It doesn't go away because you serve God for a long time. Doesn't go away. This happiness is not contingent upon what somebody else can do for you. This happiness is based solely upon what Yahweh has done for you. It can't be taken from you. It can only be given up. This happiness can be given up freely by the individual, but it can only be given by the Most High God. And it's given because somebody paid the price for you and I to get it. And that's what Jesus did for all of us. He paid the price so we can get it. It can come no other way. And so we're going to talk about these three things in this introduction. Number one tells us who is blessed by Yahweh. What's one of the answers we know? Who's blessed by Yahweh? Poor in spirit. That's blessed by Yahweh. And it goes on and on. Helps us to understand what it means to be blessed. What it means to be blessed. I'm not sure we actually come to a full understanding of this or not. You know, look out in the world and you look at every other religion that's out there. There's none that can come close. Not one can come close. We read them all. None of them where you see that the Father gave His Son in order for us to have life. None of them that the Father gives His Son who dies and He resurrects Him, being the first fruits of many to come. And I can go on and on in this, of the difference, the contrast between. So we have to really understand what it means to be called blessed or happy. Number three, leads us into worship. Understanding those, that's what brings. You want to be here. And I shared this with Pastor Josh on the phone. There's something about it. You can't help yourself. You want to be, and we get one service. Think about it. Let's just take today. We get this day. Today is not a collection of all of our problems that we bring to God, and somehow God's responsible to fix those problems. Today should be a collection of happy people who can't wait to get there so they can be led into worship by what successes they had accomplished all week. But church is not written that way anymore. Progressive church is we kind of go out and we take on tasks. We don't ask God about anything. We fill our plate. And we get so worn out that by the time we get here, we got bandages on. We're walking with crutches. We're in trouble. And so then there's a big need, and the church feels responsible for showing up and meeting that need. It's almost like it should be called a clinic. Like a clinic. I might go too far by saying maybe it should be called a daycare. But we're talking about church. We're talking about a place we come to worship Him. This is what this should be. So what do I do when I run into a problem all week? When I can't get nobody to talk to and I'm by myself, what do I do? That's what I'm going to teach you today. What do you do? Church is about coming to give testimony of our accomplishments. The Bible says we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Well, the blood of the Lamb, you didn't have anything to do with that. That's one done for you. It's God saying, I'm going to do half the job for you. I give you the blood of the Lamb. You accept it. and you have to do the rest. What is that? Excuse me. We have to make sure that our testimony is right. What's our testimony? Well, you know, this week's been tough for me. I like to never made it. What is our testimony? You overcome by your testimony. Very important. So I want you to keep that in mind. What you hear from Yeshua, you see in Yeshua. Thank you. What you hear from Yeshua, you see in Yeshua. I want you to think about that for a little while. You see it up there? I want you to really think about that. What you hear from Yeshua, you see from Yeshua. What is it saying there? He practices what he preaches. What he says, he's doing. I don't need to go back. Last night I went back a little bit and talked about some of the things he did. He was an overcomer. He was met with situation every day. But when it came time to worship, he didn't let what he went through the day before impede his worship. Why? Because he knew how to get led into worship by the Beatitudes. He knew how to just let God. How many know if anybody is going to write your life and your successes, the one that created you, he knows how to write it right. Sometimes we want to write our own life. We want to make our own decision. We want to be our own boss. All those things are good until everything starts falling apart. Then we call on God. That's what we do. Remember that. That's the nature of what we do. But what about if we just follow the Beatitudes and we ask God? That's what I mentioned last night. They brought it up. You ask him when you go. Sometimes we can get to going I've been doing this so long. You know, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm good. We don't even ask God for anything. What about just simple things? Lord, I'm asking you today, help me be a better person. You know why we don't say that? Because we think we're already there. We lose sight of our need for him. We don't see it. We talk about a big God, but we have our posture doesn't say he's that big. When's the last time I humbled myself before him? You see, those are very important questions. Let's use the Beatitudes as tools for discernment. Tools for discernment. And I think this is where we played our little game last night. All the kids helped me out real good. The kids are gone, so the adults, here we go. So I picked some pictures that I knew nobody knew nothing about in here. I want to make it real hard. This is a real tough one, right? So all at the same time, somebody tell me what this is a picture of. A redfish. Isn't that something? I didn't think y'all'd get it that easy. Why is it a redfish? It has a distinguishing mark. It's got a distinguishing mark. All right? What's this? Speckled trout. Why? How do we know? It's got specks. Specks. Distinguishing mark. What's this? Sheephead. It's got a distinguishing mark. Now, I want to tell you something. What are the distinguishing marks of a Christian? You ask the question, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Well, because you said you are a Christian, what's the distinguishing marks of a Christian? How do you know that? What distinguishes a redfish from every other fish is the dot. If I just showed you the tail of that fish without showing you the rest of the body, you'd say it's a redfish. See, it's a distinguishing mark. It's not, you don't have to see all of it. If you see that mark, you know that's what it is. Think about that. If I'd have put a white trout up there with the speckled trout, the only difference you can tell is by the what? The specks. They look the same, but there's a difference when you put the specks on. Think about that. So ask this question. What are the distinguishing marks of a Christian? How can I know if I am a Christian? How can I know? Well, some might say, well, I go to church. Is going to church a distinguishing mark? Is it a distinguishing mark? Did he say, blessed is the man who goes to church? Is that in the Beatitudes? Did I read that one? Well, I read my Bible. Did I read that one and I miss it? Blessed is the man who reads his Bible. We're talking about distinguishing marks here. If you looked at it, you know that that's a Christian. What about if I say, I've preached for 30 years. Did I forget that one? Blessed is pastor because he preached 30 years. Did I read that one? It's not in there. It's not a distinguishing mark. I want you to think about this. Matthew 7:4 says, therefore, this is the words of Jesus, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What you got to do? You got to hear the word, and you got to do what? Do the word. And he will liken you to what? A wise man who builds his house on a rock. Think about that. I don't think this is something that we shouldn't pay attention to here. This is the words of our master. He says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. How many want to be recognized as a wise person? You want to be wise. There's a qualifying factor in order for you to be likened unto a wise man based on Yeshua's words. What do you have to do? You have to hear and do. You got to hear and do. How does faith come? Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing tells us where the hearing is, by the word of God. Then it says faith without works is dead. There's no benefit whatsoever. So how many see that this is not something that you can kind of play around with? This is serious business to the Lord. And in order for you and I to be called blessed, it needs to be serious to us. Very serious. Very important to our life. If I'm going to operate in faith, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God, the rhema of God. Rhema is a spoken word. Think about that. It comes from the very mind of God. You can take accumulation of different Bible verses and by the Holy Spirit speak words, and all of a sudden it's rhema. And then you take that faith, and if you do nothing with it, you just heard it, but it didn't benefit you. And if you don't do what he says, you're like a fool who builds your house on the sand. Just sand builders. Easy. You got no prep. You come out and you take the sticks out, you rake the sand a little bit, and you just start building. You spend a lot of time and a lot of effort, and that's what it takes for life. In general, it takes time and effort. If you're going to have any type of success in your life and be a viable part of the where God has placed you, whether it be here or anywhere else around the world, we got to make sure that we understand it takes some effort. It took effort for you to be here today. There's effort involved in it. If I'm going to put forth the effort, I don't want to be a sand builder because it's easier. I want to build on a rock. Well, how do I know I'm building on a rock? I hear what he's saying and I do what he's saying. What does he say to sand builders? Don't do that. Don't do that. That's going to get you in trouble. And what do sand builders do? I understand that, but I got this one. And they do what they want. What does he say to those who build on a rock? He says, dig. Dig deeper. You got to get rid of some things. There's some things here that you got to get rid of, and you're not firm yet. You don't want to build too fast. You got to get rid of these things, and they keep digging. And they're tired. They're weary. Lord, I've been digging for 3 days. What do I need to do? Keep digging. You got it. That's got to go. This is going to undermine your building project if you don't get rid of this. And finally, they hit something solid. And then what he says, build now. Very important. Very, very valuable for us to understand. Matthew 7, 22, this is the words of Jesus. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't know about you, but that is a terrible saying. It's one of the most frightening sayings of the whole Bible. That's frightening right there. I've done all this stuff. Let me tell you what God doesn't want to hear. Lord, my name is Jesse. I committed my life to pastoring. I pastored over 30 years. Lord, I was faithful. I traveled to other countries. I did everything you asked me to do. Lord, I just want you to know that that's what I've done. Depart from me. You a worker of iniquity. You can't lead into a relationship with God by what you accomplished. That's not what he wants to hear. Do you understand that? And we got to see where that, there's a place for that. There's a place for doing things for God. But if you lead into that, you have just made a huge mistake. You won't hang your hat on the things that you believe. This is what they did. Everything I read here, they hung their hats on everything they did for him in his name. Everything. That's what they hung their hats on. I don't see anything. They didn't say they did crazy stuff. I'm going to read it again. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils. I mean, see, this is all church stuff. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't know how a verse like this doesn't roll over in your mind time and time again of how serious a matter this is. I don't know how this don't bring a question to you. What do I need to do here? He don't want your leading statement about how good you are. Lord, I'm the pastor and I built, I don't know, thousands of slides. That's the wrong lead-in. Do you understand that? Wrong lead-in. And he won't tolerate it. He won't tolerate it from me, you, or anybody. Because he tells me who's blessed and who inherits the kingdom of God. He tells us that. Number one, he said the first thing you got to do, blessed are the poor in spirit. Think about that. Blessed are you which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. Let me do something here. Here we go. I'm going to back up. I want to do it from the... Let me do it this way. I'll go back. We're going to go completely in reverse, okay? We're going to go in reverse and think about this. This is what he's listening for or what he wants. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes are not telling you how to become a Christian. They are telling you what a true Christian looks like. Not how to. How to become a Christian is only through Yeshua HaMashiach only. Unless you accept God's payment. And his payment was with his only son who became the supreme sacrifice. He gave his life in order for human beings to be blessed. Remember that word blessed, happy. Outside of that, there's no qualifying thing that God would describe as being happy. You can have all the money in the world, all of it, be yours, your name signed to it in your bank account. And you could be going around saying, I'm a happy person. In God's view, you're the most miserable person that ever lived. Because you don't have a way out. You have no salvation. Do you understand? So God has set this distinguishing marks on what a true Christian is. They tell us what a true Christian looks like. In Luke 18, in verse 9, and he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they are righteous and despise others. They are righteous. In them, and who they trust? Themselves. That's why you can never come to your own righteousness. And a lot of times when we say it that way, we can say, oh, I don't do that. But in fact, we live that out daily in our life. We don't realize how self-righteous we have become. We don't realize it. And I can tell you, it's very important that we hear this today. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray. Where'd they go? They went to church. Two of them. And what were they going to do? They were going to go pray. The one, a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. And the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. Elohim, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. He's not starting out too good here. He's getting himself in trouble. Extortioners. I'm just going to tell you, whatever he says, he is. But in his mind, for lack of a better English word, he ain't. Think about it. But what he's saying, he's definitely suffering from. But in his mind, because he's got the garment on, he's got the title, he's got the brand, he's been doing it a long time. But we're going to see, these are the words of Yeshua. So let's not forget, we're going to see what's the outcome. I'm glad I'm not like others are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. That's the second man that's with him. I fast twice in a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. That's number one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Let's not forget, poor is poor no matter how you slice it. But this poor really is rich. Because he wouldn't even lift his eye because he knew. We are standing in the presence of Yahweh, so no matter what my resume says, when I stand in his presence, I am nothing. And I at least need to acknowledge that. I at least need to do that. He's thinking about how he rescued him from imminent death. With no hope and no life. When you think those terms, you pray this way. I want you to think about it. He wouldn't lift his eyes into heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. Think about that. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Merciful. He went to the fifth one. See, this is a progressive thing. Could he get to the fifth one without number one? You can't do it. Oh, you know, I'm a very forgiving person, me. I'm very forgiving. But you could be so proud that nobody, you're forgiven. You know, you're trying to operate one of the benefits of the Beatitudes, and they don't work that way. You can only get to the other one from the other one. It's impossible to operate anyone in between, no matter what you think you're doing. If you're not poor in spirit, you cannot operate the next one. You can't even get there. And I pray to God that we see this today. This will change your life. This is revolutionary. This is revolutionary, I'm telling you. How important it is for you and I to not think, well, Lord, what's the next word? And then we take that for a little while and we forget that, and what's the next word? I'm telling you, this is important to us. Now, I want you to see this. He smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is Yeshua's words. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He tells us, this man, this publican, went back to his house justified. He's the one that I say, enter in. Enter into the joys of the Lord. You enter in. But to the other one, depart from me. So you can do a lot of church things right. But how you posture yourself before God will knock everything you've done right out, because that comes first. You can't take them out of order. That's why being a good person gets you nowhere when it comes to living in the kingdom of God. A lot of good people are not going to make it because they can't humble themselves to realize they can't have self-salvation. You can't be good enough. Think about that. Because we have to have a Savior. We have to have a Savior. Because that's what the Word of God says. He said, our heart is deceitful above all others. We're lost and undone. He said, when I look at man's righteousness, I try to find one, then I can't find none. If he can't find no righteous, you think being good just somehow just magically produces righteousness in us? Doesn't happen that way. This man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, do what? What does it say? Examine yourself. Some people say it says examine others. That's our job. We're just going to examine others. What do we have to do? We come before God. What are we here for? And we come together. We come to see who's there, who's not there, why they wasn't there. That's not what we're here for. We're here to examine ourselves. We come here to examine ourselves. He said, whether ye be in the faith. We got a job to do here. What is he talking about, whether ye be in the faith? Because there's a possibility you can start in the faith, and before long, you can do all the church things right, and you're not even in the faith. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. What is the power thereof? The power that he can take a sin-stricken, bound-to-death life and change it all around. He's the only one can do that for us. And he does it because blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs. They get there because they know how to posture themselves. They know how to humble themselves before God. Whether you examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. I mean, see that. Prove your own self. Well, the reason I am what I am because there's no, you can't, you start out with that. Remember, what's going to be your first thing you say in the presence of Yahweh? When you go to pray, what's the first thing you do? How do you start out? Lord, I just thank you. Thank you that I'm doing real good. Everything's a success. Glory to God. And Lord, you see the others. They're in so much trouble. They need your help. We just thank you for them. And you walk away. We say, you know what? I pray for me and I pray for others. And I do it every day. That's what I do. And you know, we're good. When you started out and your posture was the way it was, it's like the switch. There's a switch. And the Lord just clicks it off. And you can do that for all your life. Feeling like I got a nice prayer life, everything's good. You go to church every day. That's not a distinguishing mark of what a Christian mark is. It's not distinguishing. What's a distinguishing mark? Number one, poor in spirit. It's like a dot on a redfish. It's just something about it. There ain't no getting around it. It's a distinguishing mark. There it is. There ain't no other fish, just like that dot. How many understand that? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Yeshua Messiah is in you. There's one exception. What's the exception? Except ye be reprobates. If he's your reprobates, he's not in you. He's not in you. Now, some people think no matter what they do, how they live, you know, just because you can post it, you're just a believer. There's no distinguishing mark. At the same time, let's not just pick on one side. Just because you're sitting here today, that's not a qualifier. You understand that? It's not a qualifier. What you do is you know personally. You personally know whether you've been poor in spirit. You personally know that. A lot of what most people suffer from is their faithfulness to believing they're doing all the godly things, not recognizing when they stand next to Yahweh, they better be like the publican. You lose sight of that. I just do it once and it's over. No, the danger that Yeshua is saying is a danger that you don't live these things out every day. You don't live them out. That's dangerous to be that way. We identify with church. We identify with doing things that are godly, but we're not going back to the root. And we have to. Why do we have to deal with the root first? Without a root, then there's no growth. And once there's growth, and it's the way God wants it to be, then what happens? What do you get out of it? Root, you got growth, which is the life. What do you get? Fruit. Very important. Use the Beatitudes as, number one, tool for discerning your spiritual condition. And I just threw that little thing in there so everybody can see. Not others. Use it for your spiritual condition. Where am I at? Use the Beatitudes as, number two, keys to progress. It's the keys to progress. I'm going to go somewhere with this, and I want you to see this. They're keys to progress. Understanding these keys are very important. The first three describe our need for God. We're talking about the Beatitudes. The first three describe our need for God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We do not have what it takes to live for God. We got to recognize that. We don't. I don't care. You may say, I'm a good person. You know, I start going to church right now. I ain't really got to change anything. I don't cheat. I don't do anything. I'm just going to go to church. I put on the church garment. Is that a qualifier? No, it's no qualifier. It's self-righteous. You're saying you're good enough already. You're just going to change your name tag. Listen, if I take the dot off a redfish and put it on a sheephead, does it change it to a redfish? No. Doesn't change it. Very important to understand. We do not have what it takes to live for God. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. We recognize that. I don't have what it takes. I need to be saved. I'm passionate about this. I've recognized how sinful I am. I need to be saved. Very, very important. That's what pushes people to the altar. Not songs. Do you understand? What pushes people to the altar is they finally realize, I got to humble myself before God. That's what is life changing. I see some of you, I've watched and witnessed you fall your face in the altar and come. You want to tell if somebody's changed or not? They don't change because they start coming back to church. They get mad for a little while and quit, and then they come back to church. Is that change? There's no change in that. You're not making up with the church. You don't have to make up with me. You got to make up with God. You got to make up with God. And the way I see it, if you default publicly, you better repent publicly. But that's not preached anymore. We don't want repentance in the church. We just want inclusion. We want everybody to feel like they're socially connected. It's a sad day in the church. This got to mean more than that. Because I'm going to tell you, the most frightening verse of Scripture is the one I read when he says, we did all the church stuff right, but he says, depart from me, you work. That bothers me. Because we're not even attaining some of the things that they got thrown out for. When's the last time you remember casting out demons? Think about that. There's things that they're disqualified for some very spiritual practices here. And I'm not going to get disqualified because I'm as far as I'm concerned, that's self-righteous. It don't matter what you're concerned about. Think about that. As far as I see myself, it's not how you see yourself. When do I go to the third verse of the scripture and I say, blessed are the poor in spirit, and I actually do what that one says? And that's number one. We got to do that one because we can't get to the next one. Number four, verse four. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn? Why? Because seeing our inability, we become aware that our sins are many. That's what you're mourning over. You're not mourning. The Bible says, blessed are they that mourn. And I'm in mourning. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. You're mourning because you first recognize you have to be humble. You have to realize that you have no self-salvation. And you're thankful that a holy God, the creator of the universe, he has created me. And man's messed up. And now he gives me another chance. And I want his way out. Once you do that, you mourn because you recognize how sinful you and I really are. We see our inability. We become aware that our sins are many. Blessed are they that mourn. What do they get? Theirs. Think about it. Verse 5, but it's number 3. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Instead of defiance, which we experience a lot in the church, just being defiant. We don't call it that. That's a real tough word. Defiant is a tough word. Defiant is like you got a problem child and they don't listen to nothing you say. That sounds like church folk to me. I better go back on trip. Instead of defiance, think about it. How many ever had one of your children defy what you said? Watch out. I'm moving. That's defiance. It happens in the church. You say something, or somebody don't even say nothing. They just think you said it. And they're defiant. They never got to that one yet. And they'll never get there. They'll never get there. Because it's from the first one to the next one to the next one. And once you fall, you have to go back. Remember from whence thou art fallen and do the first work. Remember from where you fall. Maybe you got through it and you were good. You had a spirit of meekness. You realized that. But then you fell. What do? You don't come back and just jump up and say, I'm back in the meekness. Self-righteous. You can't sell. You don't put tags on yourself. You first have to see that person humble themselves. That's why I'm telling you, we think humility is tears. I've seen more people cry in these altars over the years. If we all had, everybody here, we'd have to put floaties on us and put more seats out. But true repentance is nothing you feel anybody made you do. True repentance is because you saw you next to God and you couldn't help it. You saw that there's no hope for me unless I do what he says, poor in spirit. I hope this is ministering to you. Because I can tell you, there was many weeping moments when I looked at this. And we're just getting started. This is the introduction of it. Many of them. Because I've asked God, what's going on? When you ask him that, you got to be willing that what he says includes you. It's okay if it includes everybody else. But it's not okay when it includes you. You remember, what he don't want to hear is what you think you've done. He just wants you to realize that this is the process. And listen, think about this is the first recorded sermon of Yeshua. We had a sit-down audience. I think we ought to camp out here a little bit and realize what he did. This is fascinating stuff. Start from the bottom, because that's where the root's at. Root, poor in spirit, mourning sin. What we mourning for? Because of sin. We got to have more mourning over sin than we have over what we don't have. We don't mind mourning over that. God, you just don't know, Lord. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Is that what my prayer sounds like? God, I need it, Lord. Mourn over sin. Weep before God because you messed up. What does it lead to? Meekness. Meek, that's the root. The Beatitudes are in this category. There's three categories. Three categories. You can't get to life without the root. Impossible. You can't get to life without the fruit, the root. So then the root is established. Then you're going to do something that's very important here. From poor in spirit, mourning over sin, being meek, you're going to swing to life. What is life? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now I can tell you, these things that I'm telling you, they're not unfamiliar. These are familiar things that in our journey in life and being saying we're Christian, we bear some of these marks at one time in our life. So we're familiar with them. But that life is not easy. It's tough. You got situation and circumstance, and sometimes you don't hang in there. And you fall from life. One time I hungered for righteousness. I thirsted. I couldn't get enough. I mean, I just wanted to be a church. Now we look for a time for God. Isn't that amazing? We look for time for Him. Somehow, I got to fit Him in somewhere. Oh, no, that's not going to work. Oh, man. Can they do it on a different day? We're trying to fit Him in our schedule. We're trying to fit church in schedule. Fit being a Christian in schedule. It's not about dates. It's not about a day. It's about a lifestyle. It's who you are. You got the identifying marks. You're not Christian because you're here today. You're Christian on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You, every day. It's a lifestyle. Something happened to you. And we're on this journey. We got to progress in these things. Now we got to life. And what happens when you got the trees all grown and the leaves are green and you're seeking out righteousness and you're thirsting after it? It's wonderful. What happens? You bear fruit. That's what happens. What's your fruit going to be? Mercy and purity of heart and peace. These are all fruits. So we want them fruit, but we don't want to deal with the root at all. Because that one right there, you got to humble yourself. You got to be like the publican. You can't be the Pharisee. You're not getting anywhere. You know, if we want to sign up for that, by all means. But never forget the most frightening verse of all the Bible that I read to you. Every one of them signed up as the Pharisee, and they touted their spot. I'm the pastor at Faith Temple Church. I've been there faithful every day, every year. Tout whatever you want. To God, that doesn't mean anything if you can't be poor in spirit. If you think you don't have to pray and ask God. My prayer this morning was, Father, how can I even preach this? How can I remember it? How can my brain even work and function if you don't help me? When I look at you and I look at who you are, how in the world is that even possible for me? I can't do this without you. That's the words He wants to hear. He wants to hear that we're willing to take one step at a time and we don't have to be the fruit hanging from the tree all the time. We got to go back to the root. And if we fall, we know we got to go back because you can't start. Just I fell in the fruit. I want position. I want recognition. I don't mind. I'm coming back, but I want my say. Not going to happen in God. And the church should never facilitate that sort of behavior. Never facilitate that. I want you to take a look at this. This is in my mind. Think about this. It's like the rings. The next ring is just out of reach. But if he does what makes it possible? What he's got to do on the first ring? He has to have faith. He has to trust that when he lets go from the deck, he's going to swing with one arm and he's going to be ready. He's going to be in reach of what? The next ring. And then what causes the Beatitudes to work? What is the one word that causes the Beatitudes to work? It's called momentum. It's momentum. Now, if you stay like that position for a long time, well, you know, Lord, I don't know. You don't know. They hurt me. They hurt me bad. They said some things. Guess what? You just stopped your momentum. So you let go. You finally get tired and you let go. You're going to fall. You're not going to stand. And then what we do, because we've been here so long, what do we want to do? We just want to get us a little stool, step up and grab where we left off. It doesn't work like that. And that's not my, listen, I'm not giving you these rules. I'm telling you what Yeshua said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And it's a progression. You start there. Well, I don't want to start there. Well, you're going to have to. Well, I've been here a long time. It doesn't matter. You can be in the fruit, swinging, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't know about peace no more. I don't know. You know, I know it's about peace and all that, but you can't have peace with these people. These people don't want peace. You hang in there. You hang too long, your momentum stops. Am I explaining this correctly or what?
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm... See, I'm trying to figure out what's wrong. Why have we come to this spot? Because you've been hanging at that. And guess when you fall, you reached it all the way. You made it, man. You know how to have peace. You're just peaceful. You're not interested in arguments and all that. And then all of a sudden it rises up. Because you've been hanging too long. And you're going to get tired. You're going to get fatigued. And you're going to fall from that. Well, we don't want to go back to the beginning. That's what you got to do. You have to. There's no other way. You have to look at this. Ring one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You figured that out. And you go in. I'm going to go to ring two. This is great. And you got momentum. So you swing the ring two. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's going to be comfort in realizing that we're mourning because of our sin. There's comfort that comes with that. Ring three, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, when I get into the details of these, I'm explaining all the rest of the words that are in here. Inherit the earth. Do you see in a very short period of time, you become qualified for living in the kingdom of God? Qualified for living in the kingdom of God. So the first two, the very first two, is something that can happen in a single day. Think about that. A single day. The third one can happen in the same day. This takes years to do, yet it has taken us years. And the reason is we don't realize that when you fall, you got to go back to the beginning. If you get on the rings at the park and you get on them first and you go and then you go on and you go on and you got audience watching you and all of a sudden you're tired, your momentum, you wiggle a little bit and you hold it on but you can't hold it, you fall. What does a person do when that happens? Well, if it's a person who really has a desire and a passion to get it right, you know what they do? They don't stay down there and mullygrub and whine and cry and try to bring six other families with them. They don't do that. They get up. They dust themselves off and they run to the ladder. They run to it. And the very first thing they want to do is be poor in spirit. That's what it means. When you get up and you run to the first one, you realize you didn't succeed and you need a Savior. You need a Savior. Ring four, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Ring five, blessed are the merciful. This is a good one. For they shall obtain mercy. So, you know, you're in ring one and you're realizing, man, this is great. God, I can't make it without you. I don't even want... And he tremendously invites you in. And he's got momentum and you swing on to the next ring. And then you keep swinging. And all of a sudden you get to ring five. And you go, but they hurt me. This is dealing with forgiving others. Merciful is forgiving others. Who hurt you, wronged you. I should have got that job. Can you hear yourself? You hanging there. Not thinking about swinging to the next one. Just, I'm kind of stumped right now. They don't realize how long I've been waiting for that. Now you're going to get, it's going to get tough. You don't think it's serious. I've never been on the rings. But I can tell you, if I swing on a ring, I'm hoping and praying to God I get my hand on the next one, because I won't last two swings. Go try it at the park. The monkey bar is the same thought. You got to keep going. It's easy when you keep going. It's when we stop with a problem like this merciful business. You don't know what they did me. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Yeah, They're going to get mercy, all right. They'll be asking for mercy. And that, you just keep entertaining that. Keep entertaining those thoughts. And you're hanging there on mercy. What's your chance of getting to the next one? You understand? That's the problem with being the marks of a Christian is when you're on mercy, you bear that mark. You bear the mark. When somebody looks at you, they go, they bear that mark. Just having mercy. And every one of these, by the way, Yeshua went through every one of them. He swung on these rings time and time and time again, just like we have to. Yes. Nobody is going to get where you don't have to swing on the rings. Do you understand that? We all got to swing on them. It's just what it is. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also Yahweh sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. Think about that. I want you to get this picture in your mind. This is about the first, very first one that we'll cover next week. The very first one. Holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his what? Glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The post of the door moved. There was no doubt this was a time of reverence, a time to look at, pay attention. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I want to stop there. Who's this I fellow? The one that's seeing this, who is this guy? This is Isaiah. The prophet. The guy, as I said last night, if he was alive today, he would have millions of people following him on Twitter. He would be very popular. If he preached a revival, we'd all drive and go see him because look at the book of Isaiah. Just look at that book. The things he said, he prophesied in these things, we would go because he has a standing in the presence of God is absolutely incredible. His Facebook page would be getting blowed up every day. He would have YouTube videos that would to the tunes of millions of views. Isaiah was no slouch. God spoke to him, and the things he said came to pass. If he was alive today, he would be well recognized. People would travel from all over the world to hear Isaiah speak. That guy. What did he say? He said, then said I, woe is me. All the things that he did, the mighty works that he did, what's the first thing he went back to? See, after you swing in all the rings and you covered all the beatitudes, what's the one thing you got to do when you get to the end of the last ring? Whether you fell or not, you got to go back to the first one. Yes. It's your life now. It's the marks of a Christian. It's what you do. It's what distinguishes you as a Christian. And when you don't feel like you got to go back, that's a troublesome time. You start looking and adding up the accolades and hand claps and all of that, it doesn't take long that it becomes who you want to be. Forgetting that in order for you to get where you are, it took you being poor in spirit. Yes. Think about that. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. Notice how he recognizes himself. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. Think about this. This is his testimony of himself in the presence of Yahweh. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King. My eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. What did the seraphim do? As he confessed the issue, he was precise to deal with the issue. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this had touched my lips. And now watch this. And thine iniquity is taken away and thy sins purged. How incredible is that? But Isaiah, he didn't tout who he was. He didn't say, I'm the pastor. I did this and I did that. He didn't tout that. When he got in the presence of Yahweh, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. He confessed, and what happened? What his confession was tended to immediately. God doesn't want you to fall. That's not his desires. Why has it got to be rings? Why can't it just be a treadmill? I can put it on no elevation. I'm writing this now. My turn. No elevation on one speed. And we just want to walk through life being Christian and think it's going to be fine. Well, let me just tell you. What you gain is called eternal life. Living in the kingdom with no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more death. That's got to mean something to you. It's not like you're getting, everybody's just going to get a bouquet. You know, I never did care for bouquets. Called just momentary prettiness, and then you look at them after a week and you go, what is that? It's unrecognizable. It's dead, dried up. He ain't giving you a bouquet. That's what the world gives you. Yeah. Temporary promises. Temporary lifting you up. It's all bouquets. What he gives you is eternal life. What we're after is the tree of life. Isn't it amazing in this whole process of the tree of life? It's laid out as a tree. The root, the life, and the fruit. Listen, you can't make this stuff up. He loves us that much. We just got to sit down sometime and just say, God, how can I understand this? I'm limited in my capacity to understand this. I can't understand it, but I'm asking you to help my mind comprehend. I'm asking you, once I've comprehended it, that I retain it. And Lord, I want to do what your word says for me to do. Think about this. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of Yahweh saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? It's a great question, because this is where the church suffers. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. Send me. You want to do something for the Lord? We got to get on the first ring with momentum. And we got to keep swinging and get all the way through. We're going to experience each one of these very, very detailed issues in our life. Promise you that. I'm going to go through each one as an individual thing, but you'll see in your life you experienced each one of these things. And you don't want to do it. I ain't doing it. Well, if you're hanging on mercy on ring five, and you don't want to forgive nobody because they hurt you bad, and you're just not doing it. God can forgive them, but I tell you what, you're going to fall. And when you fall and you get down there, the problem with is not just falling. The adversary is going to meet you down at the bottom, and he's going to say, you don't have to forgive. Matter of fact, all this is nonsense. Just do your own thing. Live your own life. You don't have to listen to nothing they say. And you might stay down there for a long time. Can anybody here testify there was a time that you fell off the ring and you stayed down there longer than you should have? It could have cost you everything? And how many can say that that was the most miserable time of your life? Can't believe. You look at it now and you go, man, I can't even believe it that I did that. Well, that's what everybody's going to face. We're all going to go through those things. How we're going to handle that is going to be completely up to us. So my goal today, I think that was the end. Yep. When it comes up blank, it's the end. My goal today was to do this introduction because it's important. Now when I read these verses, you're going to see where this is coming from. So our goal next week, we're going to do poor in spirit. We might do one a week or so. But I don't care. Like I told you, I don't care how long this takes. It got nothing about how long it is. Do we get it? My prayer today is that something was said that you realize today, I got to get with the program. This is serious business, and it is. Remember, what you're offered is not a bouquet, but eternal life. A chance to live without all the nonsense that you're living with today. To live in harmony with Yeshua, the King. And when all is said and done, and he gets ready, he turns the kingdom over to the Father who gave it to him. And you'll live forever and ever in the presence of Yahweh, and the glory will be back. Remember, God doesn't lose his glory. The glory's got to get back to us. And that glory's not going to come to people who haven't been well tested, well vented, looked at. And the test of life happens to everybody. There's nobody in life that's not going to be tested. What we do on the rings makes all the difference in the world. And you can't get to the other one without momentum. It's just out of reach. It's just out of, you want it, you need it, you got to have it, but you do it because of momentum. Once you get moving in this thing, you move. I believe today that there's no doubt that the way this came off, the Lord's hand was absolutely in this. And I believe we can make some good decisions today. Now, we want to do what's right before him. I haven't done that. I call myself Christian. I actually go to church. That's not qualifiers. That's not a distinguishing mark. It's not. Poor in spirit is where it starts. It's where it starts. Those that mourn because of sin. That's all the beginnings of it. You can tell the true marks of a believer. Very important. I believe there's people today that identify with being a Christian, and not one time in their life can they actually say that they humbled themselves and fell on their face and wept bitterly before the Most High because of the wrong they did. Most people come to God because of something somebody else did to them, and they just got tired of it, and they said, listen, I just can't take it no more. Think about that. They're not on this. They're not on the Beatitudes at all. There's not. You can come to God many different ways. This is what people say all the time. But according to Scripture, you got to humble yourself. When's the last time I bitterly cried? And I recognize, and you're not crying for other people. You're crying because you see your life's condition. You see right now. Let me just ask you something. Right now, for any prayers are prayed, right now as you sit, you're going to write your story to God. You got to write your story. You got to talk about what you did, your accomplishments and all that. And you're going to hand it to him. What is it going to spark in a reply? Is it going to be the most frightening verse of scripture you ever heard? Because we don't give it directly to God. The one person that's going to take every one of our replies is going to be Yeshua. We got to go through. There ain't no getting out of it. He's the judge. He's going to judge us. We're going to hand that paper to Yeshua, and he's going to read it. And he said, what is this? Because when you humble, you're going to engage Yeshua through the humility he suffered in Gethsemane when he prayed that great prayer. You're going to engage that. And he's going to relate. You're going to be able to relate. He said, I remember, Father, I remember when they did what I did. I remember when they cried till their tears just dried up. They couldn't go no more. But they surrendered their life. Church hadn't become that no more. It's not that. It's about finding the right church that fits you, fits your lifestyle, fits what you want. There's no more crying out to God. It fits me. And let me tell you, that's easy to do. You can find a church somewhere that's going to fit you. Well, I'll tell you, I have a responsibility to this church. And I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the truth. And what I told you today is the absolute truth. There's no getting in because you just fit in. Ask yourself this question. When's the last time you, as a person, you remember who you are? Where you see yourself last? Was you just hanging there, debating? You know, once you hang for a little while, it only takes a second. How many of you ever tried to do that? And all you got to do is hang for a little while. You quit your momentum, and the fall comes. Did I go back? I'm going to tell you, without a doubt, if it's been a long time since you really did that, this is what we're here for. That's why we come to church. It's in a second your life can change. Just like that. You can go from being everything good and all of a sudden, it's just in a second's time your life can change. Is that the time we're trying to get all of our work done right then and there? There's nothing of a worse feeling than when the house is not made up and somebody just visits you without notice. You scurrying around, you know. You understand what I'm saying? It's a feeling that but if you knew ahead of time, you would plan and you would prepare. Well, he's not going to come while you're in that condition. He's not coming without notice. He knows. He's telling us, I'm coming. I'm coming. Prepare. Get ready. And our life should be built around getting ready. That's why when I get to the fruit and everything's going and I was successful, that's not the end. I'm going to go back and I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember that. No matter where you get in life, when you compare yourself to who God is, you're going to have to do like Isaiah did. Woe is me. Does anybody feel like, you know, I usually ask for prayer for anything or whatever. But today, you know, I think about it. Does anybody here feel like, you know, when's the last time I had a woe is me meeting with God? When's the last time I put some blinders on so I'm not looking side to side? I'm really just focused on what am I doing here? What's my week been like? What am I doing? This has to be important to us. It really does. So my prayer is that it will be. Let's stand together.